can't meditate. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's our new opening song.
I love this as our new opening
song. That's our new opening. Gibbs.
Jason Gibbs, this is our new opening song.
That's going to be the opening song.
Why?
I don't know. It doesn't do anything.
What are you talking about? Just the part where it's like, it's going down.
It does
for
everything
real.
For us, and yeah. That should be all that matters.
Yeah, it's been about our show. It's been playing that country thing for forever. We've hated it, and now
what
we have a song
thing?
We like.
There's no country.
I don't
Vic
know.
Thing.
The thing that like was at the beginning that was like, it was not exciting. You don't need to play the lyric part. The part where it's just like, it's going down for, yeah, here. Yeah, right there. That's what I'm talking about. What do you like? Do you think this song? Shouldn't this be our opening song?
Yeah, it shows a little bit of flair for us.
Like yeah.
It.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
it.
I don't know. Joe sounds half asleep from that
Gibbs.
Song, though.
No, Joe just said he's bouncing.
I'm bouncing
Gibbs,
in my chair.
You just got voted off the island, bro.
My chair is like a
I don't know. I'm
here.
Spinning
while
the dials.
While you're there and we're
if
here,
if you don't
bro.
Play that song,
I'm spinning the dials.
It's hot in here.
Starting Monday, if you don't play that song when this show opens, we're going to have
we're
going
to ask for Emmett or Aaron or
Matt Fontana.
Good luck with that.
Attention, Browns backers. Check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. All right, phone lines are up. 216-578-0850. Kent in Brunswick. What's up, Kent?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing,
How
man?
Are you?
Doing great, Nathan. We need to get you some hot honey tea with lemon, brother.
I know, man. I've been drinking so much tea the last few days.
I just
it's driving me nuts.
Him some. I just offered him some.
I'm
going to
go get some. I'll get some at 1:30 when we play the Coach Patton interview.
Hey, fair enough. I think you guys got a great dynamic going on, but Nathan, this question is more for you, probably just because you've been in the building longer.
Sure.
You know, every workplace has this information that floats around, and I'm very interested about the potential connection to Mark Trestman as the offensive coordinator. But my thought is this. We know that he and Bernie have a great relationship.
Yep.
So my question is to you, just based on being in the building, having probably heard and had conversations here or there, what would your personal opinion be as far as would that connection keep him from getting that job based on, you know, Bernie's comments on Twitter a couple weeks ago, or could this be the opportunity for Bernie finally to get back in the organization if Mark's hired? I really like his, experience and success over the course of his career, and I think that would, have a real sizzle if, Bernie was able to come on as a special consultant of some kind to help with the quarterback development.
I don't think that the connection between Bernie Kosar and Mark Trestman would in any way hinder Mark Trestman's ability to be the offensive coordinator here. I would just be very surprised if Mark Trestman becoming the offensive coordinator here had anything to do with a position for Bernie Kosar.
You know, the thing is, too, you got to take into consideration not too long ago, Bernie put something out there to the media that came across probably not too well from the people here in the front office. They didn't really like it. So without, kind of mincing words, I don't think Bernie really has a place here. I think Bernie has done wonderful things here throughout his career, and he continues to be kind of the staple of Cleveland. I mean, he's one of the most iconic figures we have here, but in terms of him being here as part of a kind of a coaching consultant, I think that door is probably shut. That would be my guess.
And for me personally, it's you would want, if Bernie Kosar is going to be a part of this organization in any way, shape, and form, I think you want his hand on the players. Not some like impromptu role that you create for Bernie. If it's like, I think it's either he's in it or he's out of it. And it's not this like halfway in behind the scenes type of personality, because I don't think that's Bernie. And I don't think it benefits the Cleveland Browns, the on the field Cleveland Browns product enough.
Bernie was actually doing some work with Cutler this year in Chicago. And, it's not to bash Bernie, because when you sit there and listen to Bernie, when I do Tailgate 19 with him, the guy really knows the game of football. I mean, he gets really, really excited about it, and there's no denying that. But again, sometimes I think the most important thing is you make the right hire at the quarterback coach position, at the offensive coordinator position. We find ourselves a quarterback now that we can have some solid footing on to make this organization go on the right foot. So Bernie, no matter who they bring in here, it's just got to be somebody. We've got to get the quarterback that can be coached and do it the right way all the time.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is I know everybody wants to talk about the Browns and, you know, free agent quarterbacks and trading for quarterbacks and drafting quarterbacks. Right now, the best chance for success for the Browns still lies with Johnny Manziel, getting him to play at the level you drafted him to play at. So getting the right quarterback coach and coordinator who can hopefully do that, that is obviously the path, the easiest path to success for the Cleveland Browns. Let's go to Don in Ashland. Don, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nate, Matt, and Joe. What's going on, fellas?
How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Hey, I do want to agree with you guys about your intro song. That definitely brings a new dynamic to the show.
Gibbs.
See?
Gibbs.
Don, hey, don't make me ban you.
Gibbs.
You have been heard.
Gibbs, the people are speaking.
Here's my concern with the Browns right now. You know, they did all these moves and have them did these great moves to get rid of the guys at the beginning of the season that on the front office and whatnot that were causing problems for the Browns. And then you have Mike Shanahan, or Kyle Shanahan, rather. If you want it out, you know, so on, that's fine. You know, we don't need you here if you don't want to be here. You know, the route that you went about doing it, I thought was unprofessional in that sense. But this wasn't one of those things that just happened in a week. In my personal opinion, it had to happen months ago when he started having these feelings. And if that's the case, then I think we still got an issue as far as upstairs in the sense of what's going on and people sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong. And then as far as that goes, along with Johnny, I don't want them to go out and get a coordinator that has to deal with Johnny's game and so on and so forth. Because in that case, I feel like, you know, then you're letting the inmates run the asylum. And you know, what does that say to the other, you know, players that are on this team still when you've got a quarterback who's a first-round draft pick that essentially chose this season to defy authority and not be the guy that we need him to be? And then we're going to try and tailor our offense again around him. To me, that's a bunch of negativity that we don't need going forward.
For me personally, I don't think professionally that the Cleveland Browns are going out in any way, shape, or form to find an offensive coordinator that would help Johnny Manziel, that with a system that he would succeed in. This is not about Johnny Manziel. You know, this is about this team. This is about this offense. I think it's about scoring points. I think it's about extending drives, our ability to run the football, our ability to convert in the red zone, our ability to convert when we get to the red zone and not accept three and score touchdowns. All those things are the recipe for success in the National Football League, and it's something that we have failed at time and time again since we've come back. In spots, we've been very good, but in others, we haven't. And we need a guy that can do that, and a guy also, too, lastly, as I said yesterday, that is committed to be a part of the project that is getting back the Cleveland Browns to where we should be, contending in the AFC North, making it to the playoffs for the next 3 to 5 years, not a one-and-done, not a two-and-done, or any guy that's looking for the next best job around the corner.
Right, there's no question. The other thing, too, I want to hit on here, I don't think these guys are going to bring in anybody that's going to cater to Johnny Manziel, because nobody's going to make anybody at this level be a great player. Either you're going to do what you have to do to be a true professional and come in, or you're gone. And that goes for coaching staff. So no coaching staff is going to put their resume or kind of, hey, go ahead, Matt.
One quick point is, again, if we go out and find a guy, I want to go find a guy that humbles Johnny Manziel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No question.
That knocks him down a peg, has him face a dose of reality about and that's adding a draft pick that are through the draft or adding through free agency and go, you're not our guy until you prove that you are.
Yeah, there's
and
no
you buy
question.
Into my system.
Right. You
that's
can do,
the key.
You
yep.
can almost do that in practice by having a bunch of guys that want to go out there on defense and just make him embarrass him. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. But again, I think the biggest thing right now is no coach is going to come in here. This front office is way too smart to bring a coach in here that's going to cater to Johnny, because none of us know right now if Johnny's our guy. And until he shows commitment to the organization, he shows, most importantly, commitment to himself and that he's going to become a professional quarterback, nobody's going to be brought in here to cater or do whatever Johnny Manziel says.
No question in getting that quarterback situation, obviously key for this team. And I think whoever comes in here, both from a personnel standpoint at the quarterback position, is going to be very important alongside with Johnny and, of course, the coaches that come in at offensive coordinator and, of course, quarterback coach. And some of the names, just so people know, some of the names that are out there for the Browns in this offensive coordinator search. We've heard Mark Trestman, also former Bears quarterback coach Matt Kavanaugh, who was with Mike Pettine back in the Ravens. He was the Ravens offensive coordinator in the early 2000s. He worked with head coach Mike Pettine as well. He's been at the University of Pittsburgh. He helped Pettine get in the NFL's video assistant earlier in his career. I remember we talked about it last year as a name to watch there. Charlie Weiss has been linked to the team, according to Jason Lockenfora. Raiders quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo is somebody to watch as well. He was interviewed last year for the OC job. Hey, people like what he did with Derek Carr in Oakland this year. He's a name. And then the other name that has been put out there as well that I just saw, let me pull this up right here, that I just saw on Twitter as being linked to the Browns. DeFilippo, we talked about. Trestman, Kavanaugh, Weiss. Those were the ones then. I think that's all of them. Oh, and the other one, Bill Callahan from the Dallas Cowboys. A guy who would come in, knows the run game very well. I think when you kind of put the pieces together and say, what does this – I knew there was one more. What does this team want to do, run the football? Bill Callahan is somebody who certainly would be somebody to keep an eye on as well.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great name to be thrown into the mix. And just outside looking in, without looking at age, if you really want to look at experience, in Bill Callahan and Mark Trestman, both of them have head coaching experience. So that is something that as Mike Pettine enters his second year, you're not only adding them as the role – as offensive coordinator and what they will do on the offensive side of the ball, but they may also too grab that tag of assistant head coach to aid Mike Pettine as he, you know, bridges that gap and grows in experience as a National Football League head coach.
Well, yeah, and he right now, he's the offensive line coach for the Cowboys, but he's also the play caller for the Cowboys. And this is a team that's run the ball very effectively behind DeMarco Murray, built around that offensive line. Now, again, they're only successful, though, because they've got Tony Romo.
Yes, talent.
They've got Dez Bryant. They have that franchise quarterback.
I'd like to dive in here headfirst this time, Matt, instead of just jump in.
Make the splash.
Listen, if we don't have guys that are willing to make a commitment to this whole process, to winning games, doing it the right way, day in, day out, on your days off, it's a dinner instead of floating around, it's doing things the right way consistently. That's the only way the Cleveland Browns get better. So I don't care if we bring in the latest and greatest offensive coordinator, if we had a dream job and that coordinator were to come in here and do it, it's not going to work if we have one guy that's going to be suspended for 10 games again, another guy that's, you know, doing something at the bottom of the nine building. I mean, there's too many distractions here. So my only thing, all these names that we brought up, Callahan, again, professional head coach at one point, a lot of experience in running a team and obviously an offense and doing one hell of a job. You know, what he's done in Dallas, there's no questions asked, but I think the moral of the story is we've got to have a bunch of guys that regardless who comes in here as an offensive coordinator, there's got to be a commitment made to doing it the right way.
No question about it.
Yeah, one other note that I just want to say, you know, in understanding the kind of the coaching realm down there in Dallas is not only do you have Jason Garrett, you know, former quarterback, offensive mind, who could probably be a coordinator somewhere. You've got Bill Callahan, who is the play caller and the offensive line coach. But then you've got
Scott Linehan, who's calling plays too,
but he oversees the pass game. So to me, it's like a kid. You know, when you talk to your kid or you're raising your child, it's like works well with others. So I think you're not going to get an offensive coordinator that comes in here and his ego is so large that it's like he doesn't, you know, he won't bend to fit the personnel here in Cleveland. It's like he works well with others. There's a give and take that he's had to be a part of there in Dallas, and it's part of the reason they have success because it probably, you know, all their game plans or what they do through a game or maybe their halftime adjustments go through that filtration process so you get multiple eyes on what's going on so that everybody goes all in on that game plan or on that adjustment at halftime, and it's just not one person's eyes and one person's kind of point of view on one thing. And I think it bodes well for this organization kind of because of the carousel that we've had, that if you can bring in someone that is open but has a system and buys in and is open to work with others and is open to adapt to the personnel in this locker room, the other coaches, it works very well.
Yeah, just to clarify, the Raiders are going to be speaking with Scott Linehan about their position, according to NFL Network. Linehan has taken over the play-calling duties from Callahan. They work together. Linehan's title is officially the passing game coordinator, and you have Callahan as the offensive coordinator, who's really overseen their line and their run game, which has been incredibly successful this year. It's been the best in the NFL.
I'd say that was an A-plus right there.
Yeah, I think he did a good job. He did a good job there, and Garrett certainly navigated that road very, very effectively. All right, let's get one more caller in here before we go ahead and take a break, and we hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. We got Chevy in New Jersey. Chevy, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I think that you got to get Shanahan some of the blame for not developing Manziel. And guys like Romo had Parcells. Flacco had Ray Lewis. He told him, one more interception, you're going to have to answer to me. These guys were all humbled by very strong leaders. And
I think we've got them, though. I think Whitner's a strong leader. Dansby's a strong leader. At some point, you have to want it, too. It's not like Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco wasn't an off-the-field issue there. He was a pro. He just was struggling early and then obviously got it going and is one of the best, you know, playoff quarterbacks in NFL history.
Well, I think Manziel's a young guy. We have to get him engaged. We have to get behind him. And if you saw, if not you, but if the fans saw that piece with Bucky Brooks, that amazing piece on Thursday, you broke it down. Manziel's the guy. There's nobody in the draft. There's nobody in free agency. Manziel is it. We got to get behind this guy.
But who can do that? That's my question. I'd be curious to see who is in charge of that. It's not any coach. It's not. The coach's job is to coach. And going back to what the caller said, listen, I kind of agree with him that that's probably the route this whole thing's going to go. But I do not buy that one head coach or one offensive coordinator can go out there and actually make a guy want to perform. I think Johnny's either got to figure this thing out himself or, again, the next guy comes in and we have to roll. But, you know, I just don't see – I wanted to be good and stick around the NFL because I wanted to be good. I wasn't going to rest on my laurels and some of the successes that I had at Penn State or in high school. I mean, that stuff's gone. This is this is a game of big boys right here, man. Everybody's trying to – you know, as they say, it's very cliche, feed their family. Everybody's hungry out here. Everybody wants to stick around because I could tell you it's a lot easier playing football than it is out there in the real world.
I'll tell you what I'd like to see Johnny Manziel do. Kurt Warner has offered his services up to help any quarterback who wants to come work with him and help grow their game, especially guys who want to become better pocket passers. Colin Kaepernick has taken him up on that offer. And Warner said, first of all, I don't like the word fix. We're trying to grow Kaepernick as a quarterback. He's an extremely talented young kid, a kid that was thrown in as a lot of young quarterbacks are before he understood how to play with the entirety of the quarterback position. He's gotten by on athleticism. But what I'm going to do with him, when he sees what he knows about the position, and push the envelope as far as helping him develop as a pocket passer. If I see this article and I'm Johnny Manziel, the first thing I'm doing is saying I'm not going to Aspen. I'm not doing that. I'm getting down to the Exos training facility in Arizona, and I'm going to work out there with Kurt Warner and Colin Kaepernick because in many ways what he's going to try to do for Colin Kaepernick is going to be similar to what Johnny Manziel needs to do in terms of his improving his ability to be a pocket quarterback.
And again, we've said that multiple times.
And there are other benefits, as Joe Jermission pointed out, for him hanging out with Kurt Warner.
I just said it's Bible study. That sounds like a lot of Bible study to me right there.
You know what? Whether it's Bible study, I think it puts Johnny Manziel in a controlled environment, and he's being held accountable to someone who's got so much more accomplished, is a bigger star, just got elected to the final,
to be a finalist,
the, you know, the Football Hall of Fame in 2015, has more money than Johnny Manziel and has done more up to this point in his career than Johnny Manziel definitely has. So I think, and more so than that, what I love about if he gets more than just Colin Kaepernick, which I'm sure he will, is you create that culture there working with Kurt Warner of competition. You know, Colin Kaepernick has been, in some cases, close to the top and was rising very fast, but also understood how hard it is to stay at the top, which only a few guys actually get to do. But he's humbling himself enough, humble, key word, as I've said, that Johnny Manziel needs to do, humbled himself to seek out advice and seek out mentorship to stay or climb back to where it was when it felt probably easy for Colin Kaepernick. But the competition that he'll create if multiple guys get in there, that means Johnny Manziel prospectively could push Colin Kaepernick, Kaepernick pushing Manziel, or pushing some other quarterback. So I think it's a great atmosphere for him to be in. He's just got to make that commitment and not use it as a rehab where it's I go there for 3 days, and when it's not fun and it's not what I thought it would be, I leave and go home and back to my old ways.
I'm going to jump on the humble bandwagon here. You know, this is the thing I do like about Warner. When you sit there and think about where he came from before he had his success,
yes.
He was packing groceries, living in a car.
Arena League.
He did not have what he has today. And the guy started and figured it out at some point, if I work and do it the right way and learn. Now, granted, the guys that he's had around him at the receiver position, the running back position, they were all studs. He had some offensive linemen that were studs. No questions asked that he had pieces around him, but he still at one point in his life had to just figure it out and say, this is what I'm going to do. And that's why I have so much respect, because when you think about him packing groceries, and now this guy's a step away from being inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, living in a car, and again, he's one step away from going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, it shows you that if you put your mind to it, sometimes with a little bit of luck, you can attain things, but you have to be willing to say that I've got to work.
Got to see. That's right. You've got to be willing to put in the work. I would love to see something come across my Twitter that says Johnny Manziel will be joining Kurt Warner down there and working on his game. You would suggest to Drew Brees anybody.
Absolutely.
But if Kurt Warner's offering it and saying anybody who wants this in the NFL, why wouldn't you want to go do that and learn from somebody who was arguably one of the greatest pocket passers of all time to ever play the game?
And did it at a couple different teams. I mean, that's impressive. When you're able to do that with two different NFL teams, take them to the promised land and – it's a really impressive thing what he's done, so I'd like to see him kind of take him up, help him.
I certainly would as well. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear an interview with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, that was conducted last week right after the season had ended. It's coming up next on CBD.